Hey there. Welcome back to Practice Growth Hub. I'm Marcus Thompson. And you know what? We're actually at the halfway point of this whole series. And if you've been with us from the beginning, you're probably just as excited as I am about today's topic. So far, we've covered how to position yourself, specifically where to find your ideal clients and what to say that actually builds trust. You know what? Before we dive in today, I have to share something that's been making me smile all week. I've been getting messages from you all about the podcast, and honestly, some of the feedback has been incredible. But what's cracking me up is that half the comments are about the content, and the other half are about our intro music. I had someone email me yesterday saying, "Marcus, I don't know if I'm here for therapy practice tips or just for that smooth jazz intro." And another person wrote, "Finally, a business podcast that doesn't assault my ears with aggressive electronic music." Look, I have to give credit where it's due. Our sound engineer has impeccable taste. And apparently you all do too. Who knew that good jazz and good therapy content would be such a perfect match? So thank you for listening. Thank you for the kind words about the content. And thank you for appreciating the finer things in life, like a well-chosen saxophone melody. All right, now that we've properly acknowledged our excellent musical taste, let's talk about something that's been on my mind. So far, we've covered how to position yourself, specifically, where to find your ideal clients, and what to say that builds trust. But here's where most therapists drop the ball. They finally get someone interested, and then their technology gets in the way. Picture this. Someone reads your vulnerable, authentic content. They think, "This therapist gets it. I need to work with them." They click over to your website, and they're hit with a wall of forms, confusing scheduling systems, and 17 different ways to contact you. By the time they figure out how to actually book a consultation, they've lost momentum. They've second-guessed themselves. They've decided maybe they don't really need therapy after all. This is what behavioral economists call friction, and it's silently killing your conversion rate. Today, we're talking about the technology stack that actually converts, not just the basic practice management stuff, but tools and systems that reduce friction, build commitment, and turn browsers into clients. Now, before we dive in, I need to mention something crucial. As therapists, we're dealing with protected health information from the moment someone reaches out about therapy. So every tool I mention today needs to be HIPAA compliant. Rather than bog down this episode with a huge list of specific tools, I've put together a comprehensive guide of HIPAA compliant technology options for therapists. You can grab that free download at our website. I'll put the link in the show notes. But for now, let me focus on the principles behind choosing the right tools. Let me start with a story that perfectly shows you what I'm talking about. I worked with a therapist a few months back who was doing everything right. Great positioning, excellent content, showing up in all the right places. She was getting tons of website traffic and lots of consultation requests, but only about 30% of people who requested consultations actually showed up. So we dug into her process, and here's what we found. Someone would fill out her contact form on Monday. She'd email them back on Tuesday, suggesting 3 time slots. They'd email back Wednesday, picking one. She'd send a confirmation Thursday with intake forms to complete. By Friday, they'd already lost steam. The average time from "I want to work with this therapist" to actually sitting in a consultation was 8 days. 8 days! That's enough time for someone to talk themselves out of therapy. I don't know, 17 times? So we implemented what I started calling progressive commitment technology. Instead of one giant leap from interest to consultation, we created a series of smaller steps that built momentum. Now, when someone visits her website, they can take a 5-minute assessment that gives them immediate value. This leads to a brief email series with insights tailored to their responses. Only then do they get invited to book a consultation, which they can do instantly with automated scheduling. Her show-up rate went from 30% to 85%. Same therapist, same content, better technology. This is the power of understanding behavioral psychology in your tech stack. There's this principle called commitment and consistency, discovered by Robert Cialdini. People have this deep psychological need to appear consistent with their previous actions and statements. In practice, this means if you can get someone to make a small commitment first, they're much more likely to follow through with bigger commitments later. So instead of asking someone to jump straight from mildly interested to 45-minute consultation, you create stepping stones. Step 1, take a quick assessment or download a resource. Step 2, join an email series or attend a webinar. Step 3, schedule a brief phone call or consultation. Step 4, commit to therapy. Each small yes makes the next yes easier. Now, let me talk about something most therapists are terrified of, chatbots and automation. I get it. We're in the relationship business. The idea of a robot handling first contact feels completely wrong. But here's what I've been learning about technology adoption in mental health. People actually prefer some level of anonymity when they're first exploring therapy. They want to get information, assess whether you're a good fit, and build some confidence before they have to talk to a human. A well-designed chatbot can actually reduce anxiety around reaching out. But the key is what I call empathy-coded responses. Your chatbot can't sound like a customer service bot. It needs to acknowledge the courage it takes to reach out, normalize the therapy process, and provide genuine value. Instead of, "Hi, how can I help you today?" try something like, "I know reaching out for therapy can feel overwhelming. I'm here to answer any questions and help you figure out if this might be a good fit. What's bringing you here today?" And here's something that's been a game changer for the therapists I work with, what I call bridge content between your initial contact and consultation. Most therapists send a confirmation email and then radio of silence until the appointment, but that's where people's anxiety peaks and their motivation dips. What if instead you sent a brief voice message 3 days before the consultation? Something like, "Hi Sarah, this is Marcus. I'm looking forward to our call on Friday. I wanted to let you know there's no pressure to have everything figured out. This conversation is just about seeing if we're a good fit and answering any questions you have." This personal touch maintains connection, reduces no-shows, and starts building the therapeutic relationship before you even meet. Now let's talk about something tricky. The psychology of scarcity and how to use it without feeling gross about it. Scarcity creates urgency, but as therapists, we need to be really thoughtful about this. We're not selling widgets, we're offering help to people in distress. But there's a difference between manipulative scarcity and honest scarcity. If you genuinely only have 2 consultation slots available this week, saying so creates appropriate urgency without being manipulative. "I have 2 consultation calls available this week, if neither of these times work. My next availability is in 2 weeks. This is honest, creates some urgency, and respects the client's autonomy. So what does this actually look like in practice? Let me walk you through what I recommend for therapists at different stages. If you're just getting started, focus on the foundation. A simple, fast-loading website with clear scheduling integration. I've been seeing great results with tools like Simple Practice or Therapy Notes for scheduling, connected to a basic therapy website. The key is removing as many clicks as possible between "I want help" and "appointment booked." Once you've got that dialed in, you can add what I call the conversion optimizers, an assessment or quiz that provides immediate value. Tools like Typeform or specialized healthcare platforms can create beautiful, engaging assessments that capture contact information while providing genuine insights. Then you move into relationship building territory. This is where you add email sequences, chatbots, and that bridge content I mentioned. Tools like ConvertKit for email automation, specialized healthcare chat platforms, and Loom for quick video messages. And if you're really ready to level up, you get into retention systems, client portals for ongoing communication, automated check-ins between sessions, systems for gathering feedback and testimonials. This is where platforms like Simple Practice or Therapy Notes really shine. But remember, technology should always serve relationship, not replace it. Every automated touchpoint should feel personal and valuable. Let me give you some real examples of how therapists are actually using this stuff. There's this anxiety specialist I know who created a "What's Your Anxiety Style" quiz. Gives immediate, personalized results. This leads to a 3-part email series with coping strategies tailored to their results. By the time people book a consultation, they already feel like she understands them. Then there's this couples therapist who has couples complete a brief assessment about their relationship goals and readiness for therapy before they even book. This allows her to customize the consultation conversation and immediately demonstrate value. And I love what this trauma therapist is doing. She uses a simple chatbot to answer common questions about trauma therapy, EMDR, what to expect. This reduces anxiety for potential clients who might be too nervous to call directly. Let me save you from the biggest mistake I see therapists making with technology: trying to implement everything at once. Don't do this. Technology overwhelm is real, and it often leads to abandoning systems before they have a chance to work. Instead, implement one system at a time. Get comfortable with it. Measure its impact. Then add the next piece. So here's how I'd approach it if I were starting over. Month one, clean up your website and implement simple scheduling. Remove every unnecessary step between interest and booking. Month two, create one valuable lead magnet, an assessment, resource, or mini course that captures contact information while providing value. Month three, set up a basic email sequence that nurtures leads from download to consultation. Month four, add personal touches like voice messages or video introductions to reduce consultation no-shows. And here's how you know if it's working. Track your conversion rate at each step. How many website visitors download your resource? How many downloaders book consultations? How many consultations show up? How many convert to clients? Small improvements at each stage compound into massive overall improvements. Look, the goal isn't to automate the human connection. It's to remove the technological barriers that prevent human connection from happening. When someone is ready to seek therapy, your technology should make it as easy as possible for them to take that brave step. Every click, every form field, every delay is an opportunity for fear and doubt to creep in. Next week, we're exploring something I'm really excited about: community psychology principles, how to build micro communities around mental health that normalize therapy seeking and create what I call social proof cascades. But this week, I want you to audit your current client journey from the moment someone finds you online to their first session. How many steps are there? How can you reduce friction while increasing value? And don't forget to grab that HIPAA-compliant technology guide I mentioned. It's got specific tool recommendations, pricing comparisons, and implementation tips. Link is in the show notes. That's it for today's episode of Practice Growth Hub. I'm Marcus Thompson, and I'll see you next week, where we're diving into the power of micro communities. Until then, eliminate the friction.